Find verse 9. Find verse 9 with me if you would. We'll begin reading there where it says, "For this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to desire that ye might be filled with the knowledge of his will, in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that ye might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God." Remember that verse. We'll come back to it in just a few moments. "Strengthened with all might according to his glorious power unto all patience and longsuffering with joyfulness, giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. For by him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether there be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by him and for him. And he is before all things, and by him all things consist." Verse 18, "And he is the head of the body, the church." That's us today. Jesus is the head of the church. Say that with me. Jesus is the head of the church. "Who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead." Finish the verse out loud with me if you have it there. "That in all things he might have the preeminence." Father, I pray that you'd please bless the reading of your word this morning, that which we've already read and that which we have yet to read. I pray, Lord, that you'd please bless our church as you have in the last 2 years, and you have not only sustained us, Lord, you have protected us. You've not only built us up, Lord, but you have also strengthened us. Not only are there more people coming to church at this church than there were 2 or 3 years ago, but I believe today that you have not only strengthened the physical number, but also the spiritual might of your people here today. Lord, we want you to continue that work. We want you to bring us closer to you through whatever it is that you choose. Lord, sometimes we want you to do it. We want it to be easy. Lord, I pray that it would be the heartbeat of our church, that no matter how difficult the road would be, that we would understand the climb is worth it. No matter how dark the valley may be, we would understand that your will is perfect. And Lord, no matter what you call us to, we would be obedient. I pray, Lord, that you would please bless and help and guide us. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated this morning. Colossians chapter 1 is a wonderful passage of Scripture for a day like today, a day of memory, a day of commemoration, a day where we pause. You know, there is in the Bible the principle of pause. Stop for a moment. We're busy, I understand. We've got all kinds of things going on. Every one of you has a schedule today. You're probably thinking right now of what comes next, and I understand that today. I don't criticize you for that this morning. It's not a rebuke to say that today, because I understand that the culture in which we live, just part of it is that we are in a fast-paced society where we're always looking toward the next thing. But you know, the Bible tells us that out of discipline, out of decision and determination, that God's people should pause every once in a while, and just like the children of Israel in the middle of Jordan, we should maybe raise up a memorial so that those who come behind us can see what God has done. I want to ask this morning that if you're in that number of people, and I know that there will be many of you here today, and so don't be afraid and don't worry about it. A lot of other people have already had to stand, and so I'm going to ask a group of people to stand. If you are in that group of people that has started attending Faithway Baptist Church since August or July of 2019, you were either saved or baptized in the church since then, or you have joined the church since then, would you just stand for us today and let us see who you are this morning? There are many of us in the room. I understand not all 83 would be here. What a wonderful testimony these folks are. Why don't we give them a hand this morning and thank them, and you can be seated. This is just a small token of what God has done. This is just a small group of people that God has brought. But I understand this morning, if we understand that the Word of God says that all of the things that God has done, it's important. As a matter of fact, I believe it's commanded that we not forget. We've been talking in the book of Ephesians, on Wednesday nights, we have a Bible study where we typically at the beginning of the year, January or February, will begin in a book of the Bible, and we'll go verse by verse by verse by verse and work our way through that. We've been in Ephesians now. I believe it's now 20 different sermons have been preached on that, and the entire purpose of that is to teach us and to show us who we are. That's the first half of the book. If you're able to catch it online, or perhaps you attend on Wednesday nights, as most of you do, you'll know that the first three chapters are positional in nature, because when we are made new in Christ, it is vital that we understand who God has made us to be. We are a new creature in Christ. Behold, old things are passed away, and all things are, emphasis, made new. And can I say to you this morning that when God makes you new, there's a lot of exploration to be done. There's a lot of learning to be done. If you were, for instance, to go buy a new car, not a new-to-you car, not was used by someone else for a while and has, you know, 50, 60,000 miles on it, but now it's yours. No. A brand new car, not at the Ford dealership, at the Chevy or any other, okay? I always say that because it gets a response, and now I've got, but we always take the offering before I say it. You notice that. But you were to get a brand new car. Do you know one of the things that you would do? You would sit down in that car, and you would probably look at the dashboard on that car. You would probably look at all the features on that car. You would probably examine it. You'd probably go through that car, and you would learn from that vehicle what you have, because you don't know everything that you have when you buy that vehicle. You have yet to experience. You may have studied it. You may have maybe looked into it, but you don't know because you have yet to sit in the driver's seat and drive that car down the road. Well, as a Christian, when you are made new in Christ, there is much to learn about your true identity. And God makes us new when He saves us. The Bible says, ye who were dead in your trespasses and sins, He has quickened, He has made alive, and He has raised us to walk in newness of life. That word new is a wonderful thing. I remember when this building, though, as we kind of made reference to the used car, well, this is a used building, and we know that, but to us, this was brand new. And about 3 years ago, God began to work in our church, and God began to impress upon our hearts that there was something coming. And that's the only way I can explain it. There was something coming. We didn't know what it was. We didn't know what it would be. We didn't know that it would be 3635 Pollock Avenue. We didn't know that the name would change, that the location would change, that God would work great and mighty things in His church here at Faithway Baptist Church. But if you were to ask some of those in our church who were literally begging God and spending time with the Lord for on behalf of this place, this gathering, this assembly of people, you would know that there was a group of people who knew something was coming, and it wasn't COVID. Amen. It was an intuition. You could only say that it was from the Spirit of God. I don't ascribe that to everything that I feel and that I think, but I know without a shadow of a doubt that God was guiding, God was moving. I want to tell you about that today. But before we do, I want to talk about the church as it is prescribed to us in the Holy Word of God. The first thing we notice in this text is very important, because without the first thing, without the predominant thing, without the preeminent one, we have no reason to be here this morning. We know, and you know, and I know, and this church knows, but it bears repeating again today, that the church's one foundation is Jesus Christ, our Lord. I want you to notice, first of all, the person of the church. Check this out today in Colossians 1, and look with me if you would, and we'll begin in verse number 13. It says, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and translated us into the kingdom of His dear Son, that is Jesus, in whom we have redemption through His blood, even the forgiveness of sin, who's the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. For by Him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by Him and for Him, and He is before all things, and by Him all things consist. Not only could we say that it's a true statement when we say without without Jesus, we have no reason to gather this morning. But we could say that without Jesus, we wouldn't even exist today, because the Bible says that Jesus was instrumental as a part of the Godhead in creating everything that is. John chapter 1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and all things were made by Him. Without Him was not anything made that was made. You might make out of clay, you might make pottery and say, I made this. But you didn't make that. You took something that was already made and fashioned it into something else. No one outside of God has taken something from nothing and made out of nothing something wonderful. And the emphasis here today is that Jesus Christ, the creating God of the universe, by Him all things consist. Well, the Bible says He predated those things. Before Him, He is before all things. And then it says in His current state, to you and I here today, that we see Jesus Christ as the head of the church, verse 18. He is the head of the body. If you know your Bible this morning, you'll know that the church is compared over and over again in Scripture to a body. We have many members, but we are one body. The hand doesn't say, I don't need the foot. The eye doesn't say that I don't need the legs. No, we're all one of another. And God took the Jew and God took the Gentile, and He broke down the middle wall of partition, and He brought together in one man and made the church. That's what He did. That's Jesus. That's the God we serve. The Bible says that He is the beginning and the firstborn from the dead, that in all things He might have the preeminence. You say, why does He deserve the preeminence in this church? Because He died and rose again. He died, and not by some external power, but by His own power, by the power of God, He rose again and came back to life, defeating death, hell, and the grave. As a result, the Bible says in verse 19, for it pleased the Father that in Him should all fullness dwell. Let me just say this to you today. It is a simple statement, but it is a true statement today. Jesus is everything. He is everything. And without Him, we have no reason for existence. We have no means to existence. Folks, today, Faithway Day is not about Faithway. Faithway Day is about Jesus. Faithway Day is about a Savior. I remember when God began to work in our church and He began to guide and lead, and as I said, something was coming. We knew something was coming. We knew it, and we could feel it. And the way that it played out, I think, proved that more than one person, it wasn't just somebody. You could never say about this move, well, it was the vision of the pastor. He led us. No. It was the moving of God in His church. I mean, it was just an amazing thing to see. We came to the realization that God was doing great things in our church, and people were getting saved, and folks were coming and joining and serving in the work. But there was a problem, and that problem was there was no room in the inn. I mean, if you came to Bakey Road Baptist Church 3 years ago, you'd probably circle the parking lot a couple times. You'd probably look around and say, I wonder where I'm going to park. You'd probably look at the yard and say, that's too muddy. And you might even say, well, we're just not, certainly if the parking lot's filled, there's probably no room in there. And then maybe if you found a place in the parking spot that was there, or you made your own parking spot, if you know what I'm talking about, because some of you know what I'm talking about. And you came in, we had at the end there when we were getting ready to move over, we'd have families walk in, and I'd look out and I'd go, what is going on? We have marital problems. The husband's over here. The wife's over here. And I'd ask them, I said, hey, are you guys doing okay? They said, oh yeah, we just walked in. There was no room. We had to sit separately. I said, oh. And then I said this, well, you know, that's not good. Somebody said, well, that's a good problem to have. I said, there is no such thing as a good problem. Not on a Sunday morning when you're trying to have church. Amen. It's kind of like, though, when a young man, as a child, grows into his new shoes. How many of you remember your mom buying those shoes for you when you were 6 or 7 years old? You know, I'm talking about the time where your pants were probably riding halfway up your calves, and that wasn't on purpose. You know, you're going through that growth spurt. And so what does mom do? Mom is smart. Mom is wise. Mom is beautiful. Mom is great. Hear that? She's wonderful. She knows what she's doing. So she says, I know what I'll do. I'll buy him 3 sizes bigger than what he's got right now. Look like Ronald McDonald, man. I mean, just all over the place. And you walk out and you're like, oh, mom. You know, you reach down and where the ankle's supposed to be, there's your toe, you know. But hey, they're going to last. 2 weeks go by and you're already popping out of them, you know. And as a young man, boy, 6, 7, 8, 9 years of age, something like that, and pretty soon you feel, oh, these are feeling good now, and you don't have that floppy foot anymore, and things are going good. You know, then after that, though, all of a sudden, you say, I've got the same problem that I had before, and you need a new pair of shoes. That was exactly where our church was at. We were not fitting into the shoes that God had given to us. You know, growth is a wonderful thing, but there are always, and I say this for our future, there are always adjustments to be made. We have a policy here, and we don't usually put it out there, and I know we're live streaming this morning, but we have a policy here today that no one in this church has an assigned seat. Some of you don't agree with that policy. I don't care. Visitor walks in, comes down, sits in your seat, and I've seen it happen in churches. It's the most rude thing that you could see. Suddenly, as you're looking at the bulletin, you're sitting there thinking, all of a sudden you feel the presence, and you look up, and sure enough, there he is, there she is. He said, hi, how are you? They never say anything. You know what the first words out of their mouth are? Say it again. You're in my... You don't own a seat at Faithway Baptist Church. You say, well, I paid for those seats. I don't care. No, you know, that's an adjustment. That's an adjustment to be made. We come in here and you would think, wow, you know, we even prepped our church. Boy, we're going to move in this new auditorium, and for a while, it's probably going to swallow us up. I would say from almost immediately, we were going, uh-oh, because God was working. God was working. So almost hesitantly and definitely, discreetly, because we didn't want to communicate something that we didn't know was from God. We began to just pray and we began to investigate, and we started looking at buildings, and we started looking at places like retail buildings. You say, oh man, I'm glad we didn't go that route. Well, me too, but they were big buildings, and we said, boy, we could grow here, and there's lots of parking here. We started looking for everything that we didn't have, and at the time, Frank and Michelle were not working with us, and God has since forgiven us of that fact, by the way, but at the time, that wasn't going on, and so we were working with someone else, and boy, we'd walk in, and we'd look at a place, and finally, that individual said, well, you know, I think you ought to look at that church over on Pollock Avenue. I was raised on this side of town, and to be honest with you, when he said, church on Pollock Avenue, I said, there's a church on Pollock Avenue? Oh, yeah, you know, the one with the big school building. Oh, that's a church. I said, no, I drove by that 1,000 times, if not more. I grew up on this side of town. There's no way that building is big enough. There's no way that auditorium is big. Isn't it amazing how it just kind of is, it plays with your mind when you drive by? Well, just go look at it. Okay, well, we're looking at it. We walked in. I can tell you this, from the moment we walked in the room, we started going, oh. We started seeing potential. We started to see where God could do some things. We don't know what God will do, but we believe he can do, and thusly, we believe we should act and let him do what he will do. That's faith, is following God by obedience and saying, God, we just want to make ourselves available to you. And so we began to look, and we said, wow, look, this could happen here. There were old oak pews in here. Praise God for the chairs you have right now. And I began to pray and look, and I thought, man. And there was just a draw. He said, was that from the Lord? I believe it is now. We didn't know then. And we saw potential. We saw fellowship. We saw space. We saw parking. Most of all, we saw God continuing his work, and we prayed, and we met, and we talked, and we discussed. And finally, we presented to the church, but we had a problem. And that problem is a pretty common problem. We ain't got no money. That's what our problem was. It's our problem still, amen. God, we would love to do this, but we don't know what to do. And soon it was like, you know, what the Bible says there. I'm trying to think of the verse right now, but the hope deferred maketh the heart sick. We heard that, well, you know, there's 3 other groups interested. They'll probably buy it. They'll probably make greater than asking price, and they're ready to sell. Are you ready? And we said, no, but God was ready. On a Sunday morning in October, I believe it was 2018, we stood up and said, okay, we have some things to tell our church. We won't go forward without the support of the church. We're not going to go forward unless we have the faith to go as a church. We had no interest in taking a group of 50 people and splitting off. No, we were going to come together or we're not going to come at all. And God began to work and miracles began to happen. You say, well, what miracles? Well, you remember, we had no money. We had no cash. We had a little bit of a cushion in our missions fund. And I spent about 10 minutes that morning giving just an outline and said, come back tonight and we'll explain it in detail. And after that morning service, before all the details were known, God began to work, so much so that I can tell you that after that morning service, almost within 5 minutes after that, over $100,000 had been pledged toward moving into a new location. Wow. We had that discussion that night. We said, well, we're concerned. We don't know. We want to have faith, but we don't know. We began to line it out. There was a couple of people who had kind of been dropping by on Sunday nights every once in a while, sitting in the back. And they just nod their head, and then they'd look at each other, and they nod their head, and they'd look at each other, and they nod their head, and then they'd look at each other. And I know what they were thinking now. They were thinking, this guy doesn't know what he's doing. Let's help him. And afterwards, Frank and Michelle walked up to the front and said, do you know what we do? No. I said, well, we're commercial realtors. They said, we have some things to talk about. So not only was God providing the money, God was providing the means, and eventually God provided his mercy by bringing us here. I mean, amazing things. Amazing. Now, why do we mention this today? Not so that we can praise man, because man had no idea what he was doing. Man had no clue what it would look like one day in here. Man had no idea that this would be the place, but God. Jesus is the head of the body, the church. Let me just tell you something. On the head belong the eyes. And what we could not see, he could see clearly. It was said that a famous, or rather infamous, agnostic one day went to hear Charles Spurgeon, the prince of preachers in his day, preach a sermon. He took his assistant with him, and after the sermon, they walked out, and the assistant looked at the man who was the agnostic and said, well, what did you think of him? The man shook his head almost as if to clear it and said, of who? He said, of Spurgeon, the preacher, Charles Spurgeon. What did you think of him? He said, oh, Spurgeon. I haven't been thinking about him. I've been thinking of Spurgeon's Savior. I don't tell you this morning so that you could say, oh, wow, what a facility. Oh, wow, what a sermon. Oh, wow, what a church. We say it today so that we can know, oh, what a Savior. He is the person of the church. Let's look again in the text. Not only is the person of the church in the text, but quickly this morning, we see the prayer of the church. The prayer of the church. Verse 10, that ye might walk worthy of the Lord and to all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. Two things that God wants to see happen at every church, that we are fruitful in every good work and that we are increasing in the knowledge of God. God did not put people in the seats of Faithway Baptist Church. God did not bring you here today so that we could sit, soak, sour, and do nothing until Jesus comes. God brought you here so that you can be fruitful in every good work and you can increase in the knowledge of God. The process, or the power rather, of the church. Number three, found in verse 11, strengthened with all might, the Bible says, according to his glorious power, unto all patience and long suffering with joyfulness. Let me say this, the church is not a business. The church is not an organization. The church is not something that we just look at and say, well, that ought to work like this. I've done this before. I can do that. No, the church is a living organism that is fueled by the power of Jesus Christ. And sometimes it doesn't look as organized as the business down the road. I'm all for organization. Sometimes it doesn't look like we want it to look. But I tell you right now, as long as we have God's power, we'll be all right. I want you to see this lastly today. Not only the person of the church, the prayer of the church, the power of the church, but this is the process of the church. The process of the church. Notice what it says in verse 20. It says after it mentions in verse 19, please the Father that in him should all fullness dwell. Verse 20 says this, and having made peace through the blood of his cross by him, notice this, to reconcile all things to himself. By him I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven, and you that were sometimes alienated, that means you were lost, and enemies in your mind, Paul said, I was an enemy of the cross by wicked works or sin, yet now hath he reconciled. You know what this is? This is the gospel. The only thing that can reconcile man to God is the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, pay close attention here and don't lose me on this thought, because this is very important not only to the past, but to the present and the future of our church. Because this now speaks as to what is our process? Why do we exist? If we're here today and we know that God wants us to increase and be fruitful in good works and increase in the knowledge of God, well, how do we do that? What does that look like? The first thing that looks like this morning as our process is, first and foremost, evangelism of the lost. You say, what do you mean by that? It means that God wants to reconcile the lost of Evansville, Indiana to himself. And guess what has to happen in order for that to happen? We have to tell them. We have to tell them. We have to tell them. Faithway Baptist Church has to tell them. Don't lose our process. Don't lose our purpose. Don't lose what God wants for this church. God wants Faithway Baptist Church to be a church that storms the gates of hell every day of our existence. And it's not going to happen by preaching gospel messages in this church alone. We need gospel preaching. If there's someone who is here today, you're lost, you don't know Christ as your Savior, then today I beg you to consider Jesus, who suffered for your sins and bled and died and rose again. But we can't let that message be solely proclaimed in the church. We've got to go into all the world and proclaim the gospel. Notice what the scripture says about this evangelism. I've got some scripture for you this morning. Pay close attention today. Maybe turn that cell phone off. Maybe just kind of look up this way and think about this today. The Bible says, Matthew 28, 19 and 20, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Luke 4, 18 through 19, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. Why? Because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives. Notice Acts 1, 8, but ye shall receive power after that ye shall be witnesses. 2 Corinthians 5:11, Paul made the observation, knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. If we truly believe there's a hell, if we truly believe that if you die in your sins, you'll be eternally separated from Christ, knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. What are you doing to persuade men? What are you doing to tell your lost neighbors and coworkers? What are you doing to tell your lost family members about the Lord Jesus Christ, how he died for their sin and rose again and ever gives mercy to those who call upon him? So our purpose is evangelism. What do? Hey, we go soul winning. We go soul winning. That's what we do. You are to be a soul winner. That's what the Bible says. You are to be one who tells others, says, I'm a witness of what? Of what Jesus did for me. And here is his book, and here is his word, and faith cometh by hearing, and that's how I came to him, and it's how you can come to him too. We go soul winning. We believe in preaching. 3,000 people did not read a self-help book and get saved at Pentecost. Did you hear me this morning? 3,000 people did not go to a lecture and get saved on Pentecost. Peter stood before the people and preached the word unto them. Paul didn't tell Timothy, hey, Timothy, just chill, man, it'll be fine. Paul said, preach the word. Be instant, in season, out of season. How shall they call on them of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? We still believe in soul winning here at Faithway Baptist Church, do we not? Somebody help me. We still believe in preaching at Faithway Baptist Church, do we not? We still believe in visiting the poor and helping people and loving people also that they can hear the gospel. But there's another part of this process, and it's amazing. It says in verse 23, if you continue in the faith, grounded and settled, and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel. Listen this morning. Think about this today. Our process does not stop at winning the lost. We just read a few moments ago, Matthew 28, 19 and 20. Go ye therefore and teach all nations. That first teach means that we are to teach them about the words of the gospel. Go ye therefore and teach all nations. Say those three words with me, please. Teach all nations. One more time like you mean it. Teach all nations. Baptizing them. Oh, there's an idea. Baptism is a picture of Christ's death on the cross, his burial, and his resurrection, and it is my association with the fact that I have been saved. It is my identification before the church that says, I have decided to follow Jesus, and it is a step of obedience that God tells us that we need to fulfill as we follow him. But then after that, it says, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you. The first teach is the gospel teach. The second teach is the walk of the believer teach. You know what we call that today? Somebody tell me what we call that, Brother T-Vault. Discipleship. Discipleship. The Bible says a lot about discipleship. In Luke 9:23, he said unto all of them, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. For whosoever shall save his life shall lose it. And whosoever will lose his life for my sake, the same shall save it. 1 Timothy 4:16 says, take heed unto thyself and unto the doctrine. Continue in them, for in doing this thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee. 2 Timothy 3:14 says, but continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. You say, what are we going to do? We're going to preach the word of God line upon line, word upon word, principle upon principle. And we are going to the best of our ability, and with the help of God, we will not divert from what this book says. And we're going to take this book and we're going to give it to faithful men who will then teach others also. You say, when is discipleship done, Brother T-Vault? Discipleship is done when the disciplee is now doing what the discipler was doing. Paul reproduced himself in Timothy. And all of us are called not only to be disciples, we are called to make disciples. You say, well, what's the big deal about church? Why do you have it three times a week? So that we can get in the book, so we can learn how to serve Jesus, who, by the way, is the head of the church. So that we can learn more about who we are in Christ, so that we can go from this place, so we can tell people about him, so we can live for Jesus, so then we can take people within the church one-on-one or couple with couple, and we can put them together, and they can open the Word of God and say, this is what the Word of God says. This is what we should do, so that we can teach people how to serve. Our process involves evangelism. That's the most important one, because you cannot disciple unsaved souls. Listen to what I just said. It's very important. It may sound simple, but you cannot disciple unregenerate hearts. You cannot disciple someone who is lost. All you will produce in them is a counterfeit. So evangelism, number one, are you saved? Discipleship, number two, are you learning? Are you growing? Have you decided, I will follow him, Jesus Christ? And that leads us to a third part that is inferred by all of this. It's amazing. And it's mentioned, I believe, in Hebrews, but the word that I had to look through and I had to study, and it's the word that describes several things that fall under one word. And so bear with me and think about it for a moment. If we're to reach the lost, and that's evangelism, we're to train new believers, and that's discipleship, then that means that eventually, if enough of that is done, there are going to be more people, not less. Am I right this morning? Someone help me. And if there are more people, not less, then that means the family's getting bigger. If new babies are born, the family is growing. If new life comes in, that means the community, there's the word, the community is expanded. You see, the word community involves a lot of different things. The word community involves what we're going to do here in just a few moments. The Bible says they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and in breaking of bread. Eating together is biblical. Can I get an amen right there? Unless you were distracted by a few people stepping out just a moment ago, they are going to get your food ready, so don't be too hard on them right now, okay? I'm telling you right now, we are here today. We're going to have fellowship. The Bible says they continued. And let me just say this. The church needs fellowship. We've been robbed of fellowship. Did you hear me this morning? We've been robbed of fellowship. You know why? COVID. Don't touch me. Stay away from me. By the way, you all are not socially distanced. I want you to know that right now. I'm not making fun of it. I know it's real. But one thing it's done is it's hurt our fellowship. But there's another thing it does, stewardship. Stewardship. Let me just say this, that sometimes we get to thinking that, oh, the evangelism and the discipleship, that's all I'm going to focus on. Well, let me ask you a question. Who is going to clean the restrooms? Oh, well, that's someone else's job. May I remind you that God did not call a carpenter to rebuild the walls at Jerusalem? He called a cupbearer. A man who lived in the palace, who had great prestige, who probably got to eat a lot of good food and drink a lot of good drinks. I'm not going any further than that on that point because I don't know. I mean, here's the guy who gets to eat before the king. You say, well, that's dangerous. Yeah, but if it doesn't kill him, it was really good. I mean, that's just the way it goes. God didn't call some low-level carpenter, and no offense to carpenters. Now I'm in trouble again. But he did call someone who was way up here and said, you get back there and you build those walls. And by the way, no one in this church ought to be too good to do the little things. That's stewardship. Who's gonna take care of things? Sometimes we think that those things don't matter in eternity. Let me just tell you right now, if a lost person walks in this room right now and sees it in disrepair and sees that it doesn't smell good, it looks terrible, nobody's put any effort in, you know what they're going to say? These people aren't serious about that. These people aren't serious about that. One of the best compliments I get about our church, new people come in and go, it smells so nice in here. Community involves every other part of the church, from the fellowship to the stewardship to the serving of the Lord to the meals to the landscaping to all of that. And it plays a vital role in accomplishing all those practical functions of the church. By the way, if you have a family and you have babies, babies make messes. A servant doesn't say, I just cleaned that. I can't believe it's messy now. A servant says, that's good. That means there are babies. That means there's new life. That means there are more. That means God is working. That means God has given life. Hebrews 10:24 says, let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. Lastly, number 5. The Bible says in verse 27, to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery. And this mystery, by the way, was among the Gentiles because they had no expectation that the Messiah would also be their Messiah, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Wow. You know, there are some things about our faith that is just a mystery. We don't know why. I could stand before you and I could wax eloquent for hours on certain topics and at the end of it say, at the end of the day, we just have to believe that God said he's going to do it, so he's going to do it. God said it's this way, so it's this way. But notice verse 28, whom we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom. Notice this. Why all the effort? Why all of the soberness about this issue of church? That we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus. I am thankful for what God has done in our church in the past. I am so thankful that I'll never forget it by the grace of God. The moving of God was so apparent. What Baptist church votes 100% at a business meeting for anything? Much less to move locations, one we've been in for 46 years, 47 years. It's just amazing. But you know, the past is not why we're here today. Matter of fact, the present, what we're here for right now, I mean, that's not even the most important thing. The Bible says that one day it is appearing. We're going to present the church before God. God's desire is we stand before him with a perfect church. You say, ooh, that's a high standard. Well, you know, we'll never achieve perfection in this life, but we should be trending upward, not downward, right? And we can see that through the process of sanctification in our lives. The Bible says this in 1 John 2, "And now, little children, abide in him, that when he shall appear, we may have confidence and not be ashamed before him at his coming." We have all this in the past, a miraculous moving of God, but we have an even greater motivation for going forward. You've heard it said before, well, you can't live in the past. Let me just tell you something. That's true. Because what awaits us is that which is important. Paul said, "I've fought a good fight. I have finished my course." Well, let me just tell you something. We have not finished our course yet. We're not done yet. This is the beginning, not the end. If God chose to sound the trumpet right now and all of us were to go up, I pray all of us go up. If that were to happen today, what a wonderful thing that would be. But the Bible says we are to occupy till he comes. We're not to give up. We're not to say, well, that was nice, that was good, God worked, we're done. No, look, if God can do it back then, he can do it tomorrow too. He can do it next year too. You say, well, Pastor, you haven't been watching the news. You obviously don't know that the sky is indeed falling. Chicken Little was correct all along. Folks, I just finished the book of Revelation. You got no clue. But what's coming is a great and glorious presentation. Which would you rather hear? Anything other than "well done, thou good and faithful servant." Are you listening this morning? The reason today that we look at all that God has done and we say, look at the person, it's Jesus. Look at the prayer that we'd be a serving, saturated church in the knowledge of God and fruitful into every good work. Look at the power. We are strengthened by his might, not our own. Look at the process. We are to reach people with the gospel and train them up in the gospel and as a family serve God together and take care of what God has given us, become stewards of his wonderful, wonderful blessings. Also, when that presentation takes place, we shall not be ashamed before him at his coming. The question for Faithway Baptist Church is not, has God been good? That's not a question. We know the answer. The question for Faithway Baptist Church is not, is God blessing right now? He is. The question is, will we finish well? For this special day, I want to ask you in the invitation to do something with me. Whether at your seat or at the altar today, and I invite you to come, but whatever God leads you to do, would you pray that God would, in your life as an individual, a believer, if you're a believer today, as I believe we are, most of us, if not all, would you pray and say, God, I don't want to be ashamed at your coming. God, make me more in your image today. Lord, bring me closer to you today. God, then pray this one. God, would you make the best days yet ahead? Would the greatest days of Faithway Baptist Church be what are coming, not what have already been? We're going to have a time of prayer, and I'm just going to let you pray. Brother David, if you come to the piano, our eyes, we don't have to bow our